Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you, Jay. Today we're going to study about Messiah's temple, with complete details of the temple that Jesus Christ will build and rule and reign from in the 1,000-year kingdom to come. This detailed information is found in 202 verses in Ezekiel 40-46. Ezekiel, a priest as well as a prophet, was a man familiar with the temple. I'm sure this is one of the reasons that the Lord gave him this message, the message of a temple for the Messiah. However, before we look at the Messiah's temple, I want to take a moment to rehearse for you the way Ezekiel the prophet wrote his message for us today.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Ezekiel is divided into two parts. The first part is the first 32 chapters. It's a message of retribution. Ezekiel lays out for us the message that God gave to him to give to his people and the neighbors, the enemies of the Jewish people. Chapters 1 to 24 is a message of retribution to the Jews, and then chapters 25 to 32 is a message of retribution to the neighbors of the Jewish people. Chapter 33 then begins another series of messages. This would be the messages of restoration. He's going to restore the kingdom people, the Jewish people, and he's going to restore their practices, the kingdom practices. Chapter 37 is the deal that helps us to get underway. It's the first prophecy that is of major importance. By the way, look back at chapter 33 just a second. Chapter 33, I want to show you what happened, verse 22. Now, when the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, before he that was escaped from Jerusalem, it's talking about, had opened my mouth until he in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. God loosens his tongue and gives him a message of restoration. Chapter 37, it's the Valley of Dry Bones. Look at verse 7. So I prophesied as he commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and his bones came together, bone to bone. Verse 8, and when I had behold, lo, sinew and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them from above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he said, preach unto the wind. Verse 10, so I prophesied at the commandment, and breath came in unto them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now that's apocalyptic literature. What in the world is it talking about? Bones coming together, flesh coming on the bones, breath of life being breathed into them. It's a three-part prophecy. The bones coming together are the regathering. The flesh coming on the bones are the restoration, and the breath being breathed into them is regeneration. Regeneration, regathering, restoration of whom? Well, how did I tell you to interpret apocalyptic literature? Keep reading. Look at verse 11. I went to verse 10. Look at verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. He's talking about the Jews who had been scattered to the four corners of the earth. I'm going to find them and bring them into the land. Go back to chapter 34. Verse 11, chapter 34. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search out my sheep and seek them out. Middle part of verse 12. So I seek out my sheep and will deliver them from all the places where they have been scattered. Verse 13. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from their countries. Verse 14. I will feed them in a good pasture. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost. Do you hear me repeating a phrase? I will. The Lord is telling the Jewish people, I will. By the way, you know, if God says something to me one time, I believe it and that settles it. If you read from verse 11 all the way to verse 31, you'll see that God says it 18 times. I will find my people where they have been scattered. I will gather them in. I will bring them into their land. I will feed them like a good shepherd feeds his flock. Go to chapter 36. He talks about the land in chapter 36. Notice what he says in verse 6. Prophesy therefore concerning the land. Verse 8. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches. Verse 11. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estate, how it was with your forefathers. And I will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Lord. He's going to bring him into the land. Why is he going to bring him into the land? Chapter 36, verse 22. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, for but my holy name's sake. When God could swear by nothing greater, he swore, I will bring the people back. And I do it for my holy name's sake. Let me just give you something. Chapter 35. Notice what chapter 35 says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. Who is Mount Seir? Chapter 36 of the book of Genesis. God tells Esau, no longer can you live here. Chapter 37, verse 1. Jacob and his family is going to live here. Chapter 36, verse 7. The riches of both of you boys is too much for this land. You're going to Mount Seir. Where's Mount Seir? Lower third of modern day Jordan. Who went there? Esau and the Edomites changed his name to Edom. Now that piece of real estate in biblical times is called Edom. It's called modern day Jordan. They went to a place called Petra, and there they headquartered. Now he says, I'm going to destroy you, Mount Seir. Remember what God told Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau? Two nations are in thy womb. Jacob is Israel. Esau, the Palestinian people of today. He said, I'm going to wipe you out. Why is he going to wipe him out? Look here in verse 5. Because thou hast a perpetual hatred, Esau said in chapter 27 of Genesis, when my father dies, I will kill Jacob. Perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel. Verse 10. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it. This is so up to date, it's like reading the front page of the newspaper. Chapter 38, it talks about the alignment of the nations coming together. And these nations will come to destroy the nation of Israel. When will they come? Look at verse 8. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come up to the land that brought back out of the sword. Look at the last part of it. Where they are dwelling safely, all of them. Verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. And I will go up to them that are at risk, that dwell safely. When are the Jewish people going to ever dwell safely in the land? After the rapture of the church, the Antichrist appears. What does he do? Chapter 9, verse 27 of Daniel confirms a peace treaty. They think he's the Messiah. So they lay down their weapons. That's what verse 11 says. So he says they'll be living in unwalled villages. And they will come under attack by a coalition of nations. Look at chapters 40 to 46. It is the most detailed description of the Messiah's temple that has ever been written. Ezekiel, the prophet, who is also the priest, is going to put a temple up. There's several things in this temple, and it's different from every tabernacle or every temple in the past. There's been two temples, one tabernacle. This passage describes something completely different than all of those temples in the tabernacle because this temple has no wall of partition. Well, you know what the wall of partition was? Keep the Gentiles from coming into the temple area. No wall of partition. Why? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and following. Two people at enmity with each other, Jew and Gentile. Wall of partition between them. I took it out with my death, burial, and resurrection, made two people one. No wall of partition. Look here, we're in the holy place. There's no table of showbread, the 12 loaves of bread. It's not there. Why? John 6, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Oh, look, there's no menorah, the seven-branch candelabra. It's not there. Why? He said in John 8, 9, and 11, I am the light of the world. You see, every implement in the temple represents Jesus Christ. Our focus is a prophecy on him. There's no veil of the temple. Why? When he was crucified, it was ripped from top to bottom, giving us access. Look here in the Holy of Holies. There's no Ark of the Covenant. Why? The Ark of the Covenant was the model of him to come. And when you have the real thing, you no longer need the model. When he comes back, he walks into the Holy of Holies. He sits down as our mercy seat right there. That's the Messiah's temple. It's going to be built. Zechariah 6:12 says Jesus builds it. 6:13 says he rules and reigns from it. But wait a minute. Do you remember Daniel 9:27? Here's what it says. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant, that's the treaty, with many, the Jewish people and their neighbors, for 1 week, that's the 7-year period of time. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice to cease. You don't have sacrifice in Jerusalem without a temple. But Jimmy, there is no temple. Well, let me give you another passage. Matthew 24:15, Jesus said, "You see the abomination of desolation, flee." 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says, the Antichrist walks into the temple at the midway point of the tribulation, and he desecrates the abomination of desolation. Revelation 11:1, hey, John measured the place for the temple. But there is no temple. Hey, you don't know what's going on. The other day I walked into yeshiva, a place of learning for Jewish young men. In that yeshiva, the rabbi was on his computer. You know what he told me about that computer? It was a database for every male Jew qualified to be a priest. You need 28,000 priests. He has all their names on there. I said, why? He said, we've called him to Jerusalem to study the priestly duties. I said, to do what? He said, to build a temple. Man, he had my attention. I said, well, what about the implements, like the Mizrach, that pitcher-shaped item made out of pure gold or pure silver? They need 4,000 of them to do the sacrifices. They're all made in storage. What about their garments? They're already made. They're in a box. There's a piece of a paper on the front with a note. When the Dome of the Rock comes down, put on this priestly garment and report immediately to the Temple Mount. Wow. I said, what about the harps, man? King David wanted 4,000 harps. He'd go over to number 10 King David Street. That's a wonderful name for a street. Got over there. Shoshana and Micah Harari used to live over here in Vermont. He went to Israel. He made the first harp in 2,000 years. Rabbi showed up, looked at the harp, and he started crying. She said, why are you crying, Shoshana? Said to the rabbi. He said, because the Talmud, extra-biblical Jewish writing, says when the 10-string harp shows up, it's the time for the coming of the Messiah. They have the Sanhedrin, the 70 wise Jewish scholars. They have elected the high priest. I show on my website him being fitted for his priestly garment. Everything is set. Everything is set for that temple. Not Messiah's temple. That's after he returns. The tribulation temple. That'll come into place. You see it? Jews returning to the land. Palestinians trying to kill Jews. Alignment of nations trying to wipe them out. A peace process, so that'll take place. And arrangements for a temple. All set. Every actor in place. Curtain about to go up. On the second coming, this all happens after the rapture. How close could that be? Father, thank you for this awesome time you've given us to study. The information is amazing. Articulate. It's accurate. It's authoritative. And it helps us to understand the times in which we're living. This is a key to unlocking God's plan for the future. These events will all play out in God's time. And as we look and see, we can recognize where we are in that time. Help us then to live in light of that knowledge. In thy precious name, amen.
One of the purposes for a study of Bible prophecy is so that we might understand the times in which we're living and live with the anticipation that Jesus Christ could shout, the archangel could shout, and the trump of God could sound to call us up to heaven at the rapture. Our focus on the next temple to be built in Jerusalem, not the Messiah's temple of Ezekiel 40-46, but the next temple in Jerusalem, which will be the Tribulation Temple. It's ready to be built right now. The only thing that must happen before that temple is built in Jerusalem is the rapture of the church, which could actually happen today. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Next week on the broadcast, we'll begin our study of the book of Revelation. This, to me, will be a very special study. I will help you to study Revelation chronologically so that you can understand this great prophetic book. I hope you'll be able to join us then. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our study on Ezekiel.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...